There's a couple of things I wanted to announce. I think I'm just going to hold those for another week for everybody. I got some news from one of our members. They gave him approximately 4 months to live. So I'm wanting this to get out to all of you all for your prayers. So I don't have permission to mention the name yet, but I'm sure they will before it's over. So I just heard about this right before services. I'm a little broken up about this and emotional. One of our newest members just got baptized not too long ago. So I want everyone to pray for that. So this message today, it's going to be, it's the kind of message that you're going to need to pay attention to. I'm not going to go through, there's different ways to deliver this. An evangelistic style, there's an outreach, motivational speech. This is informative. This is going to be knowledge. God says his people perish for a lack of knowledge. So what I want to share with you today is I'm going to share with you something that God says, when you see all these things come to pass, all right, lift your head up high and know that redemption draws near. All right, so when you see that, when you see all the stuff that's going on and some of the information that I'm going to be bringing here for the very first time that you may not have seen, I've even thought about before. So pay attention, because I'm going to have to do it in two parts. And then as I was going through and I was beginning to develop it, I said, wow, this could be a very complicated sermon, pulling in a lot of pieces of a puzzle. So I chose to try to back it away just a little bit, to use this part, part one today, as informative, to make aware of what God is doing as he reveals his knowledge. He says to Daniel, remember in the book of Daniel, he says, at the end time, Daniel said, go your way, Daniel. But at the end time, he said, this information will be revealed. Because he told Daniel, it's not for you to know. So when you begin to see these things unveil themselves, as God lifts this curtain of the blinding of his scriptures, you know that we're getting close to the end. And so I'm going to share with you that today. So today, my sermon title today is Roaring Seas. Roaring Seas. I never looked the words up in the Bible before. Roaring seas. It comes out of the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25. All right, and it says the sea and waves roaring. All right, so now, I honestly, all this time, you don't look for something when you think you've got the knowledge. It's like when you lose something, like you lose a pen and you finally find it, you quit looking, right? There's no sense to keep looking. So when we see waves roaring, well, we all know what a wave is. We know what roaring is. So you don't go look for what it means. So I never looked up the original Greek words until about 2 weeks ago. And it came as a result of a news story, all right, out of a news story that I was reading. So now, how do you gain insight into biblical knowledge and understanding? How do you do that? What's interesting is God actually asked the same question. It's found in Isaiah 28, verse 9. God says, the question is, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So I asked you in reverse, how do you learn? How do you let God teach you? So I'm going to give you a foundation today on what God is doing for his people. And if you're here and you're seeing this and you're part of this message today, chances are you're not here by accident, even if Alex drug you in. That's one thing about Alex. I've always known him for a lot of years, and he and I have known each other. So he actually primarily built this back room here, him and his crew, in case you're wondering. You know, they did that. And every time he's there, he's always trying to drag somebody into the Bible. It's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing. When they see him come down the street, they run. They hide. No. So now, let's look at this. So let's take and go through this and see what God says. Now, this was the story that began a new research and information I'm sharing with you today. And that's why I call this the Roaring Seas. Now, I used this News Nuggets and Insights just a couple weeks ago. It's a report out of the University of Melbourne by MOC, which is the Environment and Control. They began to monitor things, and this is a story that came out. The report said that the supersized waves could compound the effects of rising sea levels, leading to more frequent flooding and accelerated coastal erosion. So at first when I see that, I said, well, here's another one of those environmental things that they have no proof with. However, this one does. This one actually does. So strong winds will be driven in the ocean's biggest waves to dizzying new heights. To dizzying new heights, all right? So this is what the report's talking about. The scripture talks about the roaring seas. So immediately when I see the news and it hits a scripture, something lights up inside of you, because if you've got the scriptures in your heart and you see something, God lights them up. He says he will bring to remembrance. Remember the scripture? God says, don't worry about what you're going to say or do. He says, when the time comes, I will bring to remembrance. So that's why we read and we study, and you want to format. You want to put the scriptures in your heart so that when God wants to use you to bring information, what does he do? He reaches inside of you. He touches that scripture that's inside of you, and he brings it to remembrance. And now all of a sudden, it's like, now I know. That's what that means. That's one of the ways God does that. He says, who shall I teach? He can't bring to remembrance what you don't have. That means you got to study, you got to research, and you got to put all that inside in you that God can use. So the article goes on to say, strong waves are supersizing the ocean's biggest waves. Amped up winds and waves aggravate the effects of climate change, adding destructive strength to storms fueled by rising seas. So that sounds like it's a modern climate change type of political propaganda. But it's not. I want to show you something. Watch this. That's the potentially ominous finding of a new research that analyzed more than 30 years. This isn't something that just came about because of some political environment. This has gone over 30 years worth of global wind wave measurements to see how they changed over time. The University of Melbourne researchers behind the work, published April 25th in the Journal of Science, said the supersized waves could compound the effects of the rising sea levels, leading to more frequent flooding and accelerated coastal erosion. All right, we're beginning to see the environment really beginning to get a little nervous. You see in the waves, and I listened again this morning to the Weather Channel, said, we really haven't seen a spring like this in a long time. In fact, one guy said, I hadn't seen it ever in his reports about the way things are going. Now look at how long the research and how much was put into this report. Research analyzed more than 30 years worth of global wind wave measurements to see how they changed over time by 31 wind and wave measuring satellites. 31 satellites that was launched into space by NASA, the European Space Agency, and other organizations. So these changes will have impacts that are felt all over the world. Ian Young, the engineering professor at the university and co-author of the study, said in the statement, the researchers compiled 4 billion measurements. And they were collected between the years of 1985 to 2018, and they were checked against data from 80 buoys in oceans around the world. So this is not something that just came up overnight. All right? So these people have been researching something. And now it's coming out and is being... I knew what that was. All right, so now. So let's get into this now. Let's back this up into the Scripture and see what God has to say and see if that conforms to Scripture. Roaring seas, Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress on the nations with perplexity. Now, if you've been following our work and the sermons that we've been doing, and many of the complicated prophetic sermons that I've been doing since 2014, 2015, you know that we have covered this verse, as you see it, over and over from various different aspects and angles. When I seen the report, I went back looking at my research and my notes, including the book that I had published. I never touched this part of it. I never did. It was like, why? Because I thought we knew that already. But it was almost as if, like the book of Daniel, God says, go your way. It's not for you to know yet. So now I'm going to take today and I'm going to begin something that quite possibly, if you were like me, you haven't researched that part of the verse. Only the top part of the verse. And what you're going to see when you leave here today will absolutely astound you with God has begun to show us about his end time. All right, so now let's go and look at God's mysteries. Biblical insights, all right? So in the biblical insights, here's what Daniel says. Go your way. So I've been telling you this, but it's better to show it to you. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So the question comes is, so what has God already showed us? What has he showed us already to know that we're going to be building to that? So if I'm looking at that verse, the first half of the verse, we've been covering with the stars and with the blood moon tetrads, with Revelation 12 in 2017, with the alignment of the stars and how it lined up back at the time of Christ, and the fall of the temples in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at Amos 3, verse 7. This is which we can be certain of. Surely the God will do nothing but he reveal his secret to his servants. That's you and I. All those that God has called at this end time, he's not going to unseal things and let the end of the world happen. Come on, you unaware. So he's going to reveal those things. So when we begin to see, we'll know it's coming from God. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things are that are not yet done. So here we go, looking at things that we're going to look at, we can go back and see what happened before we'll bring things out at the end. So everything lines up. I mean, everything begins to fall into place. It's like a puzzle. You're looking for that puzzle. When you start a puzzle, how many people start in the middle? Don't you start around looking for something straight, looking for a corner, and then you start working your way to the middle. Does God give you everything at once? No, God doesn't give us everything once. He says, here a little, there a little. So as we learn these things, and that's one of the things that I've learned over the last 40-some odd years in studying the duality of God's holy word, that what he has showed me in the past, he leaves you with questions. And years later, when you least expect it, he'll give you an answer. Gives you another question. All right. So here a little, there a little, building on the past. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. Here's what we asked at the beginning. How does God teach us? This is what he says. And whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. I could get up here every single week and praise Jesus Christ and say, praise the Lord, and everybody motivated, excited. You walk out of here feeling good. Does that help you to know if there's times coming in the environment in the times of Jesus Christ before his return when calamity comes that you're not prepared? But you felt good every week. So what does God tell us? He says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how God teaches us. So it's not enough to feel good. We know Jesus Christ is salvation. What is he teaching us? That's what Jesus did with his disciples. So when God reveals his truth to you, when God reveals his truth to you, this is very important for you to understand. He waits to see if you are faithful to the last word you heard from him. What does that mean? When you learn something, you're reading, you're in church, you've heard a sermon, someone's inspired you, does it change your life? If you say, wow, I didn't know that, that's incredible what God's done. Are you faithful to what he just showed you? Or do you walk out, like most people do every Sunday, and say, okay, that was a nice sermon, go back to the way you always lived? So he waits to see if you are faithful to what he just revealed to you and if you are open to the next. In other words, if you're not willing to change with the information he gave you, he's not going to give you any more. He's not going to cast his pearl before the swine. So that means as you learn each and every week, God's waiting to see what you're going to do about it so that he can give you more information. Let me give you an example of Abraham, a story we all know. Right? God had a plan for Abraham when he was young, was a young man. All right? Even to the point of changing his name. Remember, he was Abram, to change his name to Abraham. All right? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So the Lord said to Abraham, get from your country and your kindred, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. We know the story. So Abraham got up and he left. Suppose God told you to do something like that. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curses him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God had a plan for Abraham when he was a young man. Do you realize that God has a plan for you? In other words, when you began to learn the truth, God had a plan. He's got a goal. You're getting down to the end of your plan, but God's got to bring you there. That means he has to change you from where you are to what you will become. All right, to what you will become. And what he does is he gives you information. He gives you knowledge. He gives you understanding. I'll tell you the story about me when I went going to church and I dressed up as Santa Claus. I love Christmas. The first service I ever went to, they were talking about how Christmas was pagan. It was existence long before Christ even stepped foot on the earth. And I was upset. I went home. I didn't go back to church. God says he will see if you're faithful to what you just heard, if he's going to give you anything else. Eventually I realized that what I heard was true. I didn't agree with it. I didn't like it. I couldn't disprove it. Many of the messages I share with people today, they cannot disprove. They don't like it. It gets under their skin. It gets them all upset. I get a lot of emails come to me with people really upset with me. So I write them back and show them a scripture. I said, that's what you're upset with. You're not upset with me. You're upset with this. All right, so now, what was Abraham doing? He said, God worked and tested Abraham with trials through every phase of his life. Ladies, how would you like to be Abraham's wife when you went to Egypt? He says, sure, take my wife. She's my sister. I didn't want to be in that house when she came home. Abraham failed miserably many of the tests that God gave him in his younger years. But God gave him a purpose and a reason that every phase of his life, he was growing him, he was maturing him, he was strengthening him until the time came for the real goal that God wanted him to have. Until God believed he was ready to accept the challenge for which he was called, right? To become the father of the faithful. He was 99 years old. So that guy took a man, his entire life prepared him to do one thing. To be that example. Why? Because God wanted us to know what it was going to be like for him to put his son, Jesus Christ, on that stake to die for you and I. And that's what he did. He took his son, Isaac, and he put him and he was going to kill him, remember? Because God told him to. Because there's no other way that you and I can understand what the father must have felt because we think physical. So he gave us a physical example of what he was going to feel if he ever lost his only son, Jesus Christ. God chose Abraham to show us the father would go through to allow his son to be crucified for you and I. So God tested him and gave him trials. I talk to people each week, and some of you all here have been going through a lot of trials. God has a reason for that. You need to understand that he's strengthening you. He is purposing your life for a reason. And we don't always know what it is, but you've got to be understanding that the fact is that if you're going through it, he's allowing it. He's allowing it, and it's for a reason. So now with all that said, let's begin to get into the actual verse. All that is the background to understand when we go into a verse where we're coming from. The sea and the waves roaring is what it's talking about. So let's take a look at that. Now, here's the verse. I'm going to line it out. Luke 21, signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we know, according to Joel, it said that will happen before the day of the Lord. Not after. It will be after also in Revelation. But this is before the day of the Lord. And on the earth, the stress of the nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So now, what I've done now is I've dissected the verse. All right, here's the three pieces of the verse. Biblical insights, one. All right, here's number one. Tells you what to expect when things come to pass. All right, this is when they're going to happen. So when you begin to see the sun, the moon, and the stars begin to give you signs in heaven, as God told Joel, before the day of the Lord, what have we been covering for the last 3 and 4 years? Blood moon tetras. We've been looking at the full moons, the lunar moons, the alignments. We've been looking at Revelation 12 with the alignment of the stars in the heaven. All those things taking place. God says when things begin to happen, that's the very first thing. What's the second thing? The second point is this. The distress upon the nations with perplexity. Tells us the condition that the earth will be in when all this begins to take place. Have you ever seen a time when there's so much going on around the world that you just don't know what to look for? We do our News Nuggets and Insights every single week. We talk about events that affect people's lives and prophecy. We never have a problem trying to find news. I remember when I came into the church in the 70s. I mean, you go through days, weeks, months, and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. There's not a day that goes by now that you can't look at something going on around the world that's warning us that time is getting near. Because that's what it says. When you see those things, this is how the conditions are going to become. That's where we're going into. We're going to cover this thing with perplexity in just a minute. Now, this is the area we didn't cover. Right, this is the area that's so important that we need to understand right now. It tells us how we get to get that condition. You realize that? This little verse has designed in God's infinite wisdom that three little pieces tells us when, how, and what to look for. All wrapped up. Amazing what God can do in just a few words. Just an absolute few words. So now let's look at that, all right? So there's our verse again. Let's begin to look at the sea, waves roaring, all right? So now, perplexity. If you've never looked at the word perplexity before, it's only used, believe it or not, in that verse, one time in the entire Bible. So God's telling us, it says in Matthew 24, it'd be a time unlike any other time in history. Well, that word's telling us it's only used once. In other words, it's never going to be like this again. With perplexity, it comes from the word in the Greek word, number 640 in Strong's, aporia, meaning in a quandary. Look around the world. People just don't know what to do. The nations don't even know what to do. It means at a loss for a way of finding no solution for a way out without resources. In other words, when it gets to these conditions, the emotion, the tension of the time will get to such a time that there'll be no way to fix it. We're moving rapidly into that stage. Now, you can listen to whatever administration is in office. And if you did that, you're in trouble. Because God is not political. He is not political. He uses whoever he puts in office to bring about his plan. That's it. So when we look at these events, you don't look at anything from a political point of view. You would think that the world's doing really great if you listen to certain channels. But I'm telling you, things in the conditions around the world are heightened to a point that many nations are very concerned as to what's going to happen in the near future around the world. So now, let's take this one. Roaring. All right. What is roaring? Let's look at roaring. Okay, that word is called echeo. 2278, which is pronounced Akeo, means to make a loud noise. Well, we know that. I mean, when I taught scuba diving and I was at the college in Florida, one of the things they brought us to is on one of the coastlines. We had 12-foot seas. And they brought us out in a boat and they threw us in and said, okay, make your way to shore. You got real close to shore and the waves were so loud, I could holler at my partner right next to me and he couldn't hear me. There was roaring waves, means to make a loud noise. However, it's also the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. Says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and I have not charity, I become a sounding brass. All right, so it means more than just being loud. All right, so now it's making a certain kind of noise, all right, a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It originates from the Greek word of echos, which means to make a loud or confused noise. So in other words, the condition on this earth, when it begins to get really bad, there's going to be things going on that people are going to be confused. The events are going to be loud. They're going to be inescapable. But everybody's not going to be able to understand what's going on. Acts 2:2, same word, sound. The sudden that there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. They didn't know what it was. They were confused when they heard it. It sounded like a rushing wind. Also sound like a roaring sea or a sounding brass. So the word means more than just roaring. It means there's going to be something going on that's going to catch people's attention. You ever hear something loud behind you? You turn around and look, see what it is? Well, that's what God's saying. So there's going to be something going on. You better pay attention to what he's talking about. So that's roaring. Now let's look at waves. All right, so now what is waves? That comes from Strong, means kuma. All right, kuma means to be pregnant. I looked at that word and said, there's got to be a misunderstanding here. Talking about a wave being pregnant? But here's what it means. It means to swell in order to burst forth with force. That's what that word means. In other words, it's being swelling. See, have you noticed a wave when it's out in the ocean, it's got a kind of nice pattern to it? But as it gets closer and closer to the shore, it gets narrow and taller. And then it gets closer to like it's going to break. And then it begins to break like a woman delivering a child. And then it gets really loud and just rumbles on the shore. So when these events take place, that this verse is telling us, is there going to be conditions in the world that are going to get worse and worse and worse. It suggests the growing waves continuing uninterrupted successions and growing intensity, like leading up to a hurricane. And down here, I mean, you know what that is. I mean, they can go look at the waves coming in. There's just swells, and next thing you know, you got higher waves. And before you know it, like you had the Katrina, you had a 30-foot swell coming in, and, you know, 15, 20-foot waves on top of that. So this verse is telling us, when events happen, they're going to be just like all events that you can look at around the world that you can relate to. So that when you see events beginning to take place, you're not surprised. So God has used the physical to give us the spiritual insight, what he wants us to understand. When the spirit realm of God's world is violated, it reveals in the physical. Let me give you a couple examples for what I mean. So what I'm sharing with you today is a way to give you insight so that God can teach you about what's going on so you're not going to be taken unaware or be surprised. Look at Romans 8, 21 and 22. Because the creature itself shall be delivered. It's interesting how they use this word delivered, because the word we just said is like the wave going to be pregnant. Now it's talking about the same way with the environment. To be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. I just heard that they expect that over the next few years, over 1 million species of different environments of plants and bugs and animals will be extinct. Because of the things that are changing. I said, that can't be true. 1 million? I don't know, but that's what they're saying. All right, so now, look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travail with pain until now. So Jesus Christ has got his ministry of redemption, right? So he's going to take things when he gets at the very worst. Before everything comes to its end, he's going to step in at the last moment and save mankind from itself. But when it gets to that, you can look at the conditions around the world is going to be in such a shape that it can't fix it, can't resolve it. There's no way to help it. That the whole creation groans. You know, when I was young and I started learning, reading the scripture, it's talked about, remember, when you had Adam and Eve and Cain slew Abel. Remember the story? It's interesting what God's word says, that his blood cried out from the ground. I said, that's an interesting way to say that, because what happened was, is that when the blood was spilt, the blood is the life, it was spilt into the physical creation that God had, and all of a sudden now, for the very first time, the earth was violated, and it cried out. Remember the scripture? That's not a metaphor. That's reality. Do you know that they have studied trees in Australia? I think it's the acacia tree. And I can't find it. I found it. It was on TV one of these times. I cannot find it. I want to show the video. If anybody finds it, send it to me. The giraffes will eat on one tree. And the tree will begin to close up its leaves and begin putting out poisons to protect itself from the giraffe. But what was interesting is that when they started eating on that tree, any tree within sight or distance of that tree would start doing the same thing. It's as if that tree itself was crying out like the blood from the ground. And then they all began to change when the giraffe started eating those leaves. So, wow, what a phenomenal thing. So here we're saying this whole creation that has been violated from what God created as a perfect environment. Perfect. Has been brought to the point that unless he comes back, it will not exist any longer. It's amazing. So God has showed us the physical to bring us to the spiritual. All right? You with me on that? All right. So now let's go on. At the time of Jesus' death, look what happens. Again, the physical to give us the spiritual. Right? When he died, remember? Jesus cried out with a loud voice and he yielded up his spirit. We all know that story. But look at what happens. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent. And it was torn from the top to the bottom, the veil, remember? It's like ripped from the top to the bottom as if the Father himself reached down and finally just tore it open. Now he could reach it to his children. But at the same time, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So, wow. So here, what do we have? The veil, which is the spiritual, and the earth and the rocks rent was the physical. So what happened when he died and his blood spilt? It just, all creation was rocked. And the veil was torn. So what God's showing you, whether you realize it or not, that your physical sins that you do move into the spirit realm. And it takes Jesus Christ to remove those sins. His return is to take all of this, to take and remove it and put it back on Satan's head. And then remove it and get it all out of this planet. And to start fresh all over again. And you have been called to be a part of that through the 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ. He says you will be rulers, you will kings and priests to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. All right? So now, let's look at the waves now. What are we talking about? Just as the conditions deteriorate in the eye of a storm, the condition of mankind is going to continue to deteriorate as Jesus' return approaches. Right? No difference. The physical, the spiritual. There's the physical and there is the spiritual. In God's wisdom, he chose to use the physical realm to give us the insight into the spirit world that we do not see. John 3, verses 12 and 13. So I've told you earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Remember, God says, if he shows you something, are you faithful to what he just showed you so that he can share you more? This is Jesus Christ talking to those when he was on this earth, saying, look, I gave you the physical, you didn't believe it. Why should I give you the spiritual? It means you've got to be faithful to what he gave you. It says, no one has ascended to heaven except he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. Now, let me stop right there. If you are new and you're a guest, and we got a lot of new visitors online, and every week we get them for news nuggets and insights, let me tell you what you just heard, whether you realize it or not, to see if you will be faithful to what you just heard, whether he's going to give you more information. You with me? You ready? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. You didn't go to heaven. When you die, Jesus Christ, his own words, when you die, you do not go to heaven. Now, that has just offended people. I understand that. I didn't say it. Jesus Christ did. They said, well, they went to heaven after he died. No, they didn't. In fact, you look at the book of Acts, and it says, talking about David, he said his body and his spirit is still with us to this day, it said. If they are in heaven, who is he coming back to resurrect? Think about it. This is not complicated science. If you die and you go to heaven when you die, if you die or you go to hell, as some people say you die, who is there to resurrect? It doesn't make any sense. Jesus' own word says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. Now you have a choice. Do you believe it and will you live by it so that God can give you more information? That's between you and God. The issue if you're mad is not being mad at me. It's your own scripture. Go get your Bible and read it. You see, it doesn't make sense what the world has taught. But if you're hearing this, it's because God wants you to understand what he's telling you. That you have an opportunity to be a part of what God calls the first resurrection. The better resurrection, he calls it. To be with Christ, to rule and to reign. And help all those people who don't understand at this time. When you take something that simple and you put it into perspective, all of a sudden, if you remember nothing else from this sermon and you're new, you will remember that. Because that's what we've been taught our entire life. Our entire life. When you die, you go to heaven. Joe so-and-so's up there in heaven looking down at all of us. No, they're not. The Bible says they're dead and they're buried. Job said, when I die, I will wait my point. He says, you will call and I will answer. It is the resurrection that we all strive for. So now, throughout time, God has used the weather to bring about his divine plan. Do you realize that? God uses weather to do that. So we see it recorded in biblical history and mankind's history at the same time. All right, divine intervention in the Bible. We saw it in Joshua. God delivered Israel with from hailstones on the enemy in Joshua 10. Joshua 6, he brought down the walls of Jericho. Exodus 14, he used a strong wind to part the sea. Joshua 5, talking about the waters of Jericho. He separated the waters of Jericho that they walked across dry shod. We see it in modern day. I'm talking about just a moment. In Genesis 19, he rained down fire and brimstone on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities in that environment. He rained down all those people. He used the weather and he used the environment. How about the French and Indian War? All right, this is from the book Miracles in America. This is George Washington. Remember I talked about Abraham? God had a plan for him? Look at George Washington. This is 1955, the French and Indian War. Talking about George Washington, who played a leading role in the American Revolution, said his solid character and firm convictions were key factors in molding the nature and the outlook for America. So, however, he lived to lead this young nation what appears to be divine providence, the intervention in God's mankind affairs of purpose. In 1755, during the French and Indian War, at 23 years old, the Colonel Washington was one of 1,400 British troops under the command of General Braddock, marching to capture Fort Dubuque near Pittsburgh when they were attacked by the French. During the battle, Braddock was killed and every officer on horseback was shot except George Washington. The young Colonel Loder wrote about that, and he wrote this to his brother. But by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. I had 4 bullets through my coat. 2 horses were shot out from under me, yet I escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side. A Native American wrote on the battle, he stated that George Washington was never born to be killed by a bullet. He said, I had 17 fires at him with my rifle, and I could not even bring him to the ground. You know, this guy said, I shot at him 17 times myself, couldn't get him. 4 bullet holes in his coat, 2 horses shot out from him. Every single officer on horseback was shot and killed, and he was left alive. And we know the stories of the different miracles. Look at 1776. There was a southeastern wind. All right, this was up in Boston, that very rare in that particular time. It was like a hurricane force wind, forced the British to leave as they were about to destroy the American troops at a very young age. The War of 1812, there was a tornado. In fact, they said there was possibly 3 tornadoes that went through Washington when they were burning down the Capitol and getting ready to destroy the Capitol. We were losing the War of 1812 when these miracle weather events took place and drove the British out. How about here at the fog at the Battle of New Orleans? You kind of understand that story down here. Is that the British were coming in far superior to our troops, and this fog covered the field till the British were exposed in the middle of the field, the fog lifts, and they became like clay pigeons for everybody to shoot. In a matter of minutes, the battle was over. That war was saved by those 2 events, caused by the intervention of weather. Now, you're going to hear a lot of this about D-Day and the miraculous miracles of the weather in D-Day in 1944, June 6th. We'll be talking about that in News and Nuggets, how the weather gave them the superior edge over the Germans. But God has done that throughout mankind, World War II, with the D-Day invasion. So now, what people don't realize is Satan can intervene also. Look at this, Job 1. It says, remember when Satan, just to give you a fresh story, remember when Satan went before God and God says, where you been? He says, I've been going to and fro. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? And it's like, there's Job just doing his own thing, and all of a sudden God takes Satan, points it at him. Go see Job. And he said, and Satan says, you put a hedge about him and about his head and all the things that he has, and he's blessed the works of his hands and the substance, and you increased in his land. He says, But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, God says, and he will curse you, Satan says, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon yourself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So now, God has given him permission to do whatever he wants to Job and his family, except kill Job or hurt him. Now it goes on, verse 16. And while he was yet speaking, now I'm picking up the story for saving time. So while he was yet speaking, one says, the fire from God has fallen from heaven. That's what they thought. You know, people say that's this is God's things when these events happen around the world, and they think it's God. No, not necessarily, because see, the fire from heaven, God gave Satan permission to do whatever he wanted to. God says, okay, I'm taking my hands off, do whatever you need to do. Satan brought down fire from heaven. By the way, in Revelation, you see it happen again when the two witnesses are on the scene. They bring down fire from heaven. So the fire from God has fallen from heaven. He burned up the sheep and the servants, and he consumed them all, and I only have escaped to tell you. Look at verse 19. Then, behold, there came a great wind in the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. Sounds like a tornado. Came in and just four corners, just wiped it out. It says, and it fell upon the young men, and then they're dead, and I only have here to tell you about it. So in other words, what am I saying? It's not only is mankind bringing about curses and problems that brings about weather changes and patterns. Satan, when God takes his hands off, Satan has the power to move weather also. He is the prince of the power of the air. If you don't think he can, go back and read the book of Job. So when God begins to move his protection away from this world, because what the world wants, they want him out of their lives. That's what you're seeing even in here in America. We don't want God in the picture. You don't want prayer. You're not going to pray with our children. You're not going to have it in our school systems. So God says, okay, you want to have it your way? You're going to have it your way. But remember what happened to Job. That's what's going on right now. So you're going to see these events getting worse and worse and worse. Satan knows that, so he can bring about these things, so he will take God's people as he brings about these disasters, and he will blame the godly because they're not fooling with environment control. And they will blame the conservative, and you will watch it grow. You mark my words, because it's growing there now. This is from the deception. These are all the sermons that we've dealt with the first half of that verse. All right? Not a one of them touched the sea in the wrong ways. Not a one. So here we have in 14, then you have in 17. What was interesting is this. Between the two, what did we have? Quite interesting, 3.5 years. Sound familiar? Yeah. God's trying to give us a period of time for a warning. Let's look at it again. Let's look at it one more way. So here's our seas and roaring waves. There it is again. And one more down here with the star alignment. What are we looking at? We're looking at the same time throughout history. Anytime you've seen the blood moon tetrads take place, there have been 8 of them since Christ, you see the persecution of Christians grow. We covered that back in 2014, 2015, the persecution worldwide. Global persecution of Christians doubled in 2013, with Syria accounting for 1/2 the killings. It's the Christians that they're going after. Look at this other one here. This was in 2014. Increasing Christian persecution, the congressman says, and nobody's doing a thing about it. So global persecution of Christians has gone from bad to worse. This is in 2014, and it has not gotten any better. And nobody's talking about it. God says, you want to have it your way? You want to get away from me? You want no more protection from me? God, just go, you're on your own. Remember Job. I'm going to have to move through this really quick, even in this part one. In 2015, when those moons and stars took place, look at the weather conditions in 2015, from an earthquake to flooding across the entire planet. This was according to the EMDAT, which is a recording of national disasters from around the world. They recorded the disasters on a study of 20 years. They recorded 2,000 disasters that remained fairly steady every year. Normal, you know, like we always have this. Do you ever hear somebody say, oh, we've always had that? Yes, they have. But since 2000, the disasters have risen 43%. All right, 43%. I think, here, since 2015, Now they're over 50% the disasters. So that was the weather disasters from 2015. Look at 2017. We covered this. This was the year with the star alignment. God says, first half of the verse, remember when you see these things come to pass with the sun, the moon, and the stars, all this begins to take place? Look at 2017. We covered it with FEMA. Look what's going on in 2017. The FEMA program was $24 billion in debt before they got started that year. In debt, they were bankrupt before they even started. Harvey, $180 billion. All right, 100,000 homes or more flooded. Hurricane Irma, we didn't even know how much it was going to be, or the fires out west. The fires out west were worse than they ever seen them, 2017. In the 2 years where the alignments were, when God says it's going to be really bad, the environments got worse. So what God was showing us is, let's pay attention. And you and I need to pay attention to what was going on. This isn't 2017. You can go back and this is going to be on DVD. You can write for it and freeze it and read what these words are. The Los Angeles fire battles, the largest in fire history. Last year was surpassing the one of 17, the campfire. Worse than they ever had out there in California. Then, when all this begins to see, you have the sea and the waves roaring, right? Now we move into the spiritual realm. When you begin to see all these things, you have the physical and you have the spiritual. All right, so now with the physical and the spiritual. Look what he says now, and this is in verse 1 of Revelation 13. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon the 10 horns were 10 crowns. And upon his heads were the names of blasphemy. What's interesting is that God uses the sea and the roaring waves to show mankind of the spiritual realm that begins to rise up. God talks about at the end time that when these conditions take place, out of the sea, this beast is going to rise out of the sea. It's born as if it was dead. It's back to life again, is what he's trying to show us here. So you have the rising of the seas. Quite often the Bible uses the seas as reference to foreign nations and armies. It says, woe to the many nations that wage. This is Isaiah 17. They rage like a raging sea. Woe to the people who roar. The words of Luke 21 in Isaiah's chapter 17, verse 12. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Right, this is the warning of the prophecy toward the end time. It says, the Lord will destroy Babylon. He will silence her noisy din. Remember the noise like a clanging? That's what we read in Luke 21. Waves of the enemies like a great waters, the roaring of their voices. That's in Jeremiah. And here in Jeremiah 47, encompasses the whole thing. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. This is what the Lord says. See how the waters are rising. What did that report say? So remember when I said at the very beginning that when God puts things inside you, he will bring to remembrance? So when I read that report, I said, I remember reading something about that. So you go into the scripture and then God brings it out what he wants you to know. So look what it says. See how the waters are rising in the north. There was, where they were located, was desert land in the north. So he's talking about people, not the waters, but God's using the waters today for you and I. What is all the news people saying? The waters around the world are rising. What does God say here in Jeremiah? The waters out of the north. It's the people. It's the environment. It's the lies. It's the sin that's going on around the world. And it's rising and is getting very loud. It's very confusing to people. They're taking our children and telling how to live with boy with boy, girl with girl, transgender, and you name it. They, you can't even remember all the things. How they're taking our children and confusing them with all this noise that's out there. And God says, the waters are rising, you all. You better pay attention. He goes on to say, and they will become an overflowing torrent. When that happens, God says, Satan knows he has a short time. He's going to turn on God's people. That's what's going on. They will overflow the land and everything in it, the towns and those who live in them. Do you see the connection? Do you see why now God's beginning to show us the second half of the verse? Because God's trying to show us that time is getting close. All right, so it goes on, all right, in like fashion, same verse. Like fashion, the condition of mankind continues to rise as the seas, roaring and waiting to burst forth as the sea overflows. The sea and the waves roaring. God has laid all this out there. He put it through all the prophets and he says, when it's time, I'm going to reveal it to you. We're in that time today. It's interesting that the Vatican calls itself the Holy See. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. What is the beast we're talking about? The same beast of 13. Now, I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about this. The 2030 agenda. Let's go through that and we'll begin to wrap this up. This was a slide that I brought to you earlier in the sermon today. This is where we were talking about the sea, and we're looking at the insight for number 3. So it tells us how we get to the condition we're going to be in before the return of Jesus Christ. You're beginning to witness the physical battles, the rising seas, that are paralleling the spiritual warfare that Satan is waging, and we saw that from Jeremiah. God, we just read that in Jeremiah. So now I'm going to get ready to start wrapping it up. I draw these little graphs a lot. You've seen me use these graphs a lot because they help me lay things out and it makes it really plain in my mind when I begin to see these things. Let me show you something you may have never seen before. In 1933, Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany. His reign of terror ended in 1945. It was 12 years. It was interesting. It was 12 years. 3 years later, Israel was established. Total, 15 years. So what's that to do with us? What has that got to do with what I'm talking about today? Are you ready? Watch. So now, let's look at today. The 2030 agenda. It was established in 2015. However, 3 years later, in 2018, the scientists, there's almost 200 of them, came together and says, we have 12 years to save the world. 12 years, very interesting. We had 12 years up here to stop Hitler from his ravaging. All right, so there we have the 12 years, all right, from 2018. And you're hearing the politicians now. They're portraying we got 12 years. Actually, we're in 2019. According to them, it's only 11 years left. But they'll be saying 12 years next year, too. I mean, I don't know what they're talking about. But look at this. 2015, the 2030 agenda was established by the Pope at the UN. To 2030, 15 years. Do you see the connection? You may not see it all together yet, but let me show you what we're just looking at. All right, there's a total of 15 years. All right, there's the first part. The establishment of Israel, that is the forerunner of the return of God in the millennial reign. That is the type. When God was beginning to plan his time, Satan knew it. He raises up and he's got this evil person out there to destroy. So God cuts him short so that he can establish his land as prophesied. So now, we have the exact duality taking place from 2015 to 2013. Here you have the establishment of Israel. Is it possible that Satan knows he has but a short time, and God's showing us we're moving close to the 2030 agenda and the establishment of the return of Jesus Christ? I don't know. But it looks pretty similar. There's a couple things else you need to understand. You have type, and you have anti-type at the end time. Now, look at this. Look what we're looking at right here now. Right up in here. So what are we looking at? Is it possible a tribulation begins 3.5 years before that? I'm bringing these things out to you that I cannot prove this yet. And I probably will not be able to prove that. But God says he's going to make you aware that you will know the season. You won't know the day, you won't know the time, and you won't know the hour. He also says he's going to extend time. And in another verse, he says that if he doesn't cut time short, no flesh would be saved. Even if you figured it out, you don't have it. But here's what God's showing us. That we have moved into a time that the wording and the explanations that people are talking about is biblical. Germany surrenders May 7, 1945. Israel is established May 14th. Do you realize that that is exactly 1 week, 3 years, and 1 week? Jesus Christ came from, he says, we have 1 week. We have 7,000 years. A day is 1,000 years. 1 week. So we're looking at a period of time that God finally cuts him off that we're moving into. Actually, in November 29, 1947, was 2 years to make room for the establishment of Israel. So that means before you get to 2030, something's going to happen. Something's definitely going to be taking place. So now, 2030 is right at the conclusion of what? 2,000 years and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So, what God is showing us here, all this physical excitement going on, is because there's a spiritual battle taking place. In that spiritual battle, look at Revelation 12:12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So when you hear things like, the world's going to end in 2030, nobody believes that. But the environment is saying it, and the emotion is why. It's because Satan knows he has but a short time. And you see the spirit world revealed into the physical. And he will use the reverse of everything. He will do something and blame you for it. He will create the environment and say, he did it. And we have seen that over and over and over again. Now look at this one. This is in Hosea. Hosea 6, 1 and 2. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us, God says. He has smitten us, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Peter says, so let me show you a mystery. A day is 1,000 years to the Lord. We know that Jesus Christ has given mankind 6,000 years, and in the 7,000th year is the millennial reign. 2,000 years ago, almost to the year, the week, who knows, maybe even close to the day, Jesus Christ was crucified, and he said he's coming back at the end of the 6,000 years. That was 2 days ago. Here's what Hosea says. He's going to revive us at the end of 2 days. So we're seeing all these events of 2030. It's trying to tell us something. You're getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do about that? You're going to go on living your own life? You're going to play panda that you're going to live for in the physical world for who knows how long now? And look what he says. And in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. When is that? That is the millennium. What are we looking at in 2030? They're trying to create a millennial reign. And it won't work. It absolutely won't work. And I'm going to show you that next week. So in part two, we'll begin tying in the events. Right? I'm tying in the events. I gave you the foundation of what's laid out there that God helps you to understand. Now we're going to put the events into place. Let me show you just one thing that the news is not telling you. This is with China and the tariffs. I agree something should have been done a long time ago. But you know what? It's too late. If we'd have done it God's way, God would have helped. But now we're not doing it God's way. We're trying to do it our way. And it won't work. I'm telling you, I don't care if you like Trump or you don't like Trump. It is not about him. It is about God's plan of salvation. And God's people need to remember that. When I hear the man say they're talking about the gays that are out there, and he said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry, God hates that. I don't care who he is. Now, people got mad at me when I talked about Obama when he was pushing gays and said I was a racist. Now they're going to tell me I hate Trump. I know it. I don't care. That's okay. I'm not here to push politics. It's about your salvation. And that's what we need to understand. When a president of the United States can say it's okay for the gays to be out there, when you got a guy running for president and he brings his own husband up there with him, and we say there's nothing wrong with that, how do you expect our children to ever learn the difference between right and wrong? There's no hope for this planet. I hope you understand that. But you have a chance to make a difference. Now, here's what China is saying. While we're saying that we're going to be okay, look what China, look at the wording. Remember now, the physical being brought in from the spiritual. Here's what it says. President Jing pointed out that the Chinese economy is a seed. What are we reading in Luke 21? What do we read in Jeremiah and Isaiah? Talks about the seed. The China saying, we're a seed. He says, it's not a small pond. He said, he continues that a rainstorm cannot destroy a pond. It can destroy a pond, but it cannot destroy the sea. That's what Satan's out there reaching out and saying, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to destroy mankind. He says, after numerous storms, the sea will still be here. And that's what Satan says. That's what he said in Isaiah, and he said in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. I will be like God. I will be greater than God. And we're seeing the spiritual realm working its way into the physical. You see, look what else he's doing, why the news is not telling you this. Look at this. In a new series of op-ed articles, the Chinese media slammed what it labels Trump's administration of greed and arrogance, called for a people's war. They got a lot more people than they do. Have you heard of the story of Gog and Magog? Have you seen the alignment of China, Russia, and Europe? Have you seen the Russian and Europe being pushing against the king of the south? All of those events are going on, and nobody's talking about them. It goes on to say this. A people's war targeting the U.S. with precision as China begins a fight for a new world. Isn't that amazing, the words that they're picking these days? They're picking these words, and they're trying to have something established by 2025 before a possible time of a tribulation sets in. A time of Jacob's trouble. I know it's a lot of information to give you at one time. But I wanted to lay the foundation. Sometimes I only got one shot to see people one time. I want to give you as much as I can possibly give you. In 2 weeks, I'm going to carry them with part two. And we're going to tie these events going in to this time of the roaring seas. Because you have all the politicians out there saying, this is a fight for the soul of mankind. It's interesting. The end of the world, the soul of mankind. They're using terms that the Bible calls about apocalyptic. And we're in that time right now. And so finally, in all my years of doing this, since 1971, I never studied the second half of that verse until just a few weeks ago. And look what has opened up in that little bit of time. In 2 weeks, we'll pick up this in part two of Roaring Seas. Thanks for watching, and thanks for coming.